Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Today I want to share a challenge that is becoming increasingly urgent for both our organization and our community. The growing number of individuals camping on the public sidewalks and the right-of-way directly surrounding the mission. These individuals often struggle with untreated mental illness, trauma, and addiction. They deserve compassion and real opportunities to change their circumstances.
This is Clayton Romano. He is the president, CEO of Waterfront Rescue Mission. I forget his exact title, but he's the guy. He's the main person, okay, for Waterfront. And he was speaking to the Escambia County Commission meeting last week, and this is about the camping ordinance or the change in the camping ordinance. We'll get to the ordinance itself and the discussion around it because it's very interesting. But what he's saying is, look, the problem is people all around Waterfront on Herman Street are practicing camping right now, and it's not safe for them. It's not safe for our customers, clients. It's not safe for the drivers. It's just, it is a real problem.
So Waterfront provides many services, including overnight shelter, meals, addiction recovery, respite care services, and other long-term programs. Many of the individuals camping outside are unwilling to participate in any of our services. Instead, they remain in the public spaces, even when those spaces are unsafe.
Right, and unsafe for them, even.
Just this past Monday, December 8th, an individual living on the sidewalk outside the mission was struck by a car speeding down Herman Street. Thankfully, that individual survived. The hit and run was arrested shortly thereafter.
But when you have a lot of people congregated around and live, it's dangerous for even drivers. I don't know if that's the primary thing, but, you know, they were talking about the median ordinance was another part of this meeting. But as far as camping goes,
we also continue to see illicit drug use, increased aggression, sanitation issues, and behaviors that actively hinder our ability to operate a safe, recovery-oriented environment for the hundreds of men and women that come to Waterfront seeking help.
There's all kinds of bad behavior from the homeless community. They're trying to help. Obviously, Waterfront is doing their very best to help. Several organizations locally do their very best to help. But he says, look, it's getting out of hand. We need help from you and from law enforcement. And that's why he showed up to testify about this ordinance.
Currently, our only recourse is to suspend services when those individuals' behavior become unsafe. But even then, they often do not leave the immediate area around the mission. This leaves us and them in a difficult situation.
And I think of what's going on often over on Murphy Lane by the Mike Kimbrell's operation. The name of it all of a sudden escapes me. But, you know, the Washburn Center. That's bad. And the residents there have complained about that area and the difficulty. And it is. If you go drive by, sometimes it's worse than others. But, you know, that's a mess, too. And, you know, what can be done? What needs to be done? And how can we serve people who are citizens? They are citizens made in God's image. And yet also they are interfering with the operation of the community, with public safety, with the desire to have, as I said last hour, a nice place. So Clayton Romano says we need a plan, three elements of that plan, redirecting individuals who don't match our services to services that they can use, better coordination among service organizations so that we, you know, aren't overlapping, duplicating services and actually being the most effective. And then basically, you know, having more public shelter space available, which we are short on that right now. So Allison Rogers, the attorney for the county, wanted to explain, and it came up repeatedly, you know, what does this change in the ordinance do? Because the only thing that they voted on was to strike out the word, I think it was four times in the ordinance, overnight. So instead of saying overnight camping, it would say just camping. And she was at great pains to explain that this is a very, very small but yet very important change in the ordinance. It was actually kind of asked for by law enforcement that, you know, are been kind of the origin of this. And we'll talk about this coming up in a half hour with Chip Simmons.
We already have this ordinance on the books.
Right.
Law enforcement needed a little bit stronger tool, so we're loosening up what the definition of camping is. This comes out of a state statutory mandate from last year. We've had an ordinance on the books for quite a while. This is just adjusting the definition of camping. The state law currently indicates that camping is only overnight. This opens it up to be if you're camping even during the day. It shouldn't address simply the use of a tent.
See, when I first read the ordinance, what I thought was the difficulty of proving that they were camping overnight is the reason for this change. That you know, how would you prove essentially that somebody was there the whole night? That's a difficult, I mean, what are you going to have a cop on stakeout all night? Like, that's a very difficult thing to prove. So let's take out the overnight and let's make it easier to identify that people are in violation of this law. Well, it turns out that's not the scope of the problem that they're trying to solve. The problem is that you have not people camping only at night, but camping during the day. And, you know, camping during the day is just as problematic as camping at night, perhaps even more so. Let's deal with that. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by our Russell Landscape Group. They deliver premier landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast, combining local expertise, reliable service, and lasting quality to elevate every community that they serve. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Rolling accident-free right now, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Seeing about a 7-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound, headed toward 9 Mile, starting around 10 Mile Road. He's seeing about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, doing payroll, all the stuff that has to be done. Obviously, it's very important to your business and to your, you know, employees, but it's not necessarily the fun stuff. It's not necessarily like why you got into business. It's more of the what you have to do because you made the choice to get into business. You know, you want to give out legal advice, or you want to give out, you know, medical help, or you want to, you know, repair automobiles or lay IT cables or whatever it is your company is. But employees come with this stuff. Well, guess what? If you don't like doing it, or you're kind of gotten too big for you to do, call Torgerson Consulting. They handle this for lots of companies here locally for more than 2 decades. They've been doing this and for us for the last 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country and ESPN Pensacola. They've been managing our benefits, and I won't tell you that they are miracle workers. The marketplace is what it is. You know, it's terrible. I mean, the marketplace for health insurance is terrible. But in the things that are all out there and available, Torgerson Consulting always finds the best options for us. I know that. And they have brought us options we didn't have before. They have done much better at customer service than we ever had before. And we're thrilled, frankly, you know, that we use them and I like them and they answer questions. My wife asks hard questions and they always answer them. So they're great. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, back to the change, minor word change, but a significant word change in the public anti-camping ordinance that the county has that mirrors the state statute. Allison Rogers, county attorney, is explaining what will actually change if they approve this.
Current existing ordinance tracks almost identically the state statutory language from the state statute that came out last year, which defined camping as overnight. And in conversations with Sheriff's Department and those who, I guess, who've been out in the field dealing with enforcement of this, there was an ask to loosen it up so that it would be for camping if it's occurring in the same places that's already in the ordinance, but even during the day.
Yeah, so not because they want to have an easier time of being able to enforce the ordinance against people who are camping overnight, but because the spirit of the ordinance is to deal with camping. And therefore, if you take out the overnight element, then it's camping during the day under a whole bunch of different circumstances, loosening the ordinance, so to speak, or making it more widely applicable or more useful against people who are camping on public areas.
They have folks who are setting up and camping and sleeping on sidewalks, on public rights of way all day long. And law enforcement found that to be a very frustrating thing, that you had to wait until overnight in order to do something about it.
Right, which is very understandable. So all this does is loosen up that definition of camping to include the daytime. Now, when I say all this does, that's a significant change from the perspective of the homeless campers, right? Because it means they can be removed from places. They can be told that they're in violation by the law enforcement officers or code enforcement, I suppose both, but law enforcement is probably primary. If they are camping on a sidewalk, camping in a park, camping in a forested area, not just overnight, but during the day as well. And they did pass that 5-0, no real discussion. I mean, there was some discussion, but not too much discussion. The discussion came more about the median ordinance later. There's always the problem, and I don't think we should ignore this. There's always the problem of, if they can't be here, where can they be? And part of the, I think, the flaw in the state statute is that the state statute only allows us to create a kind of a displacement zone, if you want to think of it that way, an area where they're allowed to camp for up to a year. And there's all kinds of restrictions on how you design that space and that it doesn't affect the neighbors and it has security and water and all this kind of stuff. It's a very high bar to provide even that relocation zone for people who are not allowed to camp on, you know, public property. But I don't know. Nobody's done it. You know, the city hasn't done it. The county hasn't done it. Nobody's doing this. So in effect, what you have is a rule that says, well, you just can't be here. You know, it's kind of like the old line at the bar. Well, you know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You don't have to go anywhere because there's nowhere for you to go. I mean, if you're homeless, if you're not in a shelter or not able to get into a shelter or unwilling to get into a shelter, those are different things, but all apply. And you're told, well, you can't be here in the parking lot. You can't be on the sidewalk. You can't be in the park. You can't be in this forest. You can't be in this house because you're squatters. You can't be all these places. And I think the appropriate response question is, well, where can I be? Well, not here is what we're saying. And I'm troubled by that. Andrew McKay, I'm troubled by that because I want to say not here, but I also want to be able to say, but there. And we should have a there. Or there should be a there that's not illegal because being a human shouldn't be illegal. I sympathize with the homeless community when they make those kind of comments. You know, being a person shouldn't be a violation of law. Agreed. Just not here. So we need an answer on this. And right now we're in a position where we don't really have one. We've passed an ordinance that just says not here. And we don't have anything that says but there. And we need a but there. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join News Radio 92.3 as we celebrate and share Christmas together with the annual News Radio 92.3, a Pensacola Christmas concert, starting at 6 p.m. Christmas Eve and running all the way through Christmas Day. It's a Pensacola Christmas tradition, celebrating local voices and warm spirits. Hear local choirs, symphonies, and musicians playing their favorite holiday music. A Pensacola Christmas concert starts 6 p.m. Christmas Eve right here.
Brought to you by Howard Young Flooring on News Radio 92.3.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho!
Hey, that'll work. You got any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
You want December
24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark. When I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer.
Yes, one of the best Christmas movies of all time. 725 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And hey, look, it teaches you that you can't do it all on your own. John McClane couldn't do it all on his own. He needed Argyle's help.
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
Takes a team.
It does.
There's no John McClane in team. Or something. I don't know. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782. We've got one accident that just happened on North Fairfield Drive and Lillian Highway. We're starting to see a little bit of roadblock there. So just be advised of that. We'll get you more information. That literally just happened. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone. About an 8-minute delay. And also Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, starting around just north of 10 Mile Road. And about a 7-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. We got a bunch of texts in here on the discussion we were having about homelessness in Escambia County. And, of course, I mean, part of the reason this is extra relevant right now is because it's cold out. You know, it becomes extra relevant when it's cold. They just, you know, Escambia County Sheriff's Office just discovered somebody deceased, Payson Fairfield. I'll talk to the sheriff about the details, but it sounds to me like somebody who froze to death is what, or, you know, died in their sleep in the night, which is horrible to think about. Where do they go if they can't be here? Somebody says, Andrew, you're wrong. We do not need to have homeless here. Their own families can look out for them or go somewhere to some blue state that will take them back, like Illinois or New York. Actually, the county's been doing this. Escambia County's had a very effective program of sending back now, I want to say it's like 200 people to their sort of home areas where they can be reconnected with their families and their support networks. And, you know, that's a much better situation from them. And I support that program. You know, as long as it's the idea of getting them reconnected with where they'll be better off than here. Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. Let's see. Somebody says, where was it? What if I'm on a park bench reading a book and I just accidentally fall asleep? Am I camping? No, this is a good question. Part of the enforcement squishability or squishiness of this ordinance is exactly where does recreational behavior stop and illegal camping begin? Because, you know, let's be honest, okay? If, you know, me, Andrew McKay, goes and falls asleep up against a tree in some park, I mean, nobody's going to care. But if I take my favorite grocery cart and my tarp and, you know, my 48-year-old radio and, you know, my dog and his bowl and I go sleep, well, now it's trouble. What's the difference? You know, right? What's the difference? What's the difference between taking a nap in the park and camping? It's not an unfair question. The definitional overlap between ordinary recreational activity and camping is going to make this difficult for enforcement, which is like almost all of the rules we try to put in place around homelessness, panhandling, vagrancy. They're all so gray, which is why they run into legal problems, you know? It's illegal to give out the food here on this park median. It's, you know, it's illegal to give a blanket to these people. It's, you know, it's all so difficult to legislate. Extra problem, the First Amendment and the right to peaceably assemble. Both seem to conflict with a lot of the things that we want to restrict to the degree that we want to restrict the activities. So anyway, just it is a very difficult problem. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Tennessee Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons dealing with a break-in at his home. Police say a burglary happened on Sunday night while the team was on the road in San Francisco. Surveillance video showed six people smashing in his windows and several items were taken. In New York, a hearing picking back up today in Lower Manhattan ahead of the murder trial of Luigi Mangione, accused of killing a UnitedHealthcare CEO. So far, the focus has been on Mangione's arrest in Pennsylvania. His attorneys are asking the judge to throw out key evidence. And Elon Musk has just set a new record, Andrew, becoming the first person ever to be worth $600 billion.
Outstanding. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we always do on a Tuesday, about a bunch of things. We'll talk to him probably about the license plate ordinance and, you know, their cooperation with ICE. Also, a big drug bust that they made. They're always making big drug busts. And, you know, somebody went to the FBI Academy and a resolution of a legal case against a deputy for deadly use of force. Very, very interesting incident.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The killer is still out there this morning, 3 days after gunning down two Brown University students, wounding 9 others in a mass shooting.
Videos appear to show the potential gunman walking near Brown University at 2 p.m. on Saturday. That is just 2 hours before the shooting. The man is seen wearing a dark beanie, a surgical mask over his face, and a dark two-tone jacket. This person of interest is described as a male, 5'8", with a stocky build.
Fox's Brian Yenis reporting from Providence. The son of legendary Hollywood director Rob Reiner will be in court later this morning. Cops say Nick Reiner killed his father and his mother, Michelle. The father and son duo responsible for the shooting rampage and a Hanukkah celebration, Australia leaving 15 dead, inspired by the terror group ISIS. That from the Australian Prime Minister. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a bit of a chilly start to our morning. It is 33 degrees right now. We'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Officials are investigating after a man was found dead Monday in a wooded area near Eden Lane and Highway 95A. That location is across the railroad tracks from Jim Allen Elementary School. According to the sheriff's office, the man died from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Investigators said there was no indication of foul play. The investigation continues. Meanwhile, a group of Pensacola residents are pushing back against plans that would remove dozens of heritage oak trees at the old Baptist Hospital site. The city has approved a permit allowing 38 trees to be removed or heavily pruned. Some of those trees are believed to be hundreds of years old. The Paces Foundation plans to build affordable senior housing on the property. Neighbors say that development, though, really doesn't need to come at the expense of the trees.
I understand and agree that we need public housing here, but we need both, trees and housing.
Resident Kristen Brown Sanders said preserving the oaks and building houses could coexist. Tree advocate Alicia Trawick wants the city to pause their construction plans and consider alternate plans, including shifting the development to one side of the property and preserving the trees as a public park. Protesters are expected at City Hall today around 2:30. In Flomaton, there's a new permanent police chief. Town council members voting on Monday to promote interim chief Justin Hetrick to the full-time role. Hetrick has been serving as interim chief since earlier this month and says transparency and community engagement will be top priorities moving forward. Flomaton Police currently have 7 certified officers. Hetrick officially takes over after former Chief Derek Lowry resigned last month. New state data showing a big drop in abortions reported in Florida this year. The Agency for Healthcare Administration says just over 40,000 abortions were reported through the first 11 months of 2025. That's down 29% compared to the same period last year. The decline follows Florida's 6-week abortion law, which took effect May of 2024 and includes limited exceptions. Most abortions this year occurred during the first trimester. Governor Ron DeSantis is using emotional testimony to push for an AI Bill of Rights here in Florida. During a roundtable discussion at Florida Atlantic University in Jupiter, one Orlando mother told lawmakers she believes AI played a role in her son's death.
And when I say sexually groom, I mean the same as an adult doing this type of behavior, like sexting a minor, these very explicit conversations and role playing.
And the governor said stories like that show the need for state level protections, especially when it comes to how AI interacts with kids and families. He said Florida plans to move forward with safeguards even as the federal government explores its own approach to regulating AI. 7:35, News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. The light at Cervantes and 17th is malfunctioning and blinking yellow. So please be careful at that intersection. Also, let's see here. North Fairfield Drive and Lillian Highway. We've got an accident with injuries and roadblock on Lillian Highway. So just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing a 7-minute delay, and Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile experiencing a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are starting the day off cold again with temperatures in the 30s. We'll warm up into the upper 50s for your highs today. Plenty of sunshine for your afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 49. Heading into Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 66 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 70 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
35 and sunny in Pensacola, 30 reported in Milton, 33 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We are starting the day off cold again.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla executives said the EV maker is testing its driverless cars on Austin public roads with no people on board. Texas currently allows autonomous vehicle makers to test or operate ride-hailing services on public roads as long as their cars adhere to traffic laws. Consumer sentiment has fallen and layoffs are rising, and yet U.S. shoppers have fueled solid retail sales growth with a record turnout from Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday. Consumers across all incomes are turning to value-oriented retailers such as Walmart and TJ Maxx. The Trump administration has unveiled a new initiative dubbed the U.S. Tech Force, comprising about 1,000 engineers and other specialists who will work on artificial intelligence infrastructure and other technology projects throughout the federal government. Participants will commit to a 2-year employment program. Futures are slightly lower ahead of economic data. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 41, the NASDAQ down 137. That's your money now.
Shop waterfront thrift stores for all your seasonal needs. Whether you're looking to decorate your home for the holidays or searching for great gift ideas, we've got bargains that'll fit your budget. Plus, your purchases help make meaningful change in our community. Waterfront Thrift, where department store taste meets thrift prices. Visit one of our 7 waterfront thrift locations today or shop at waterfrontonline.org. This holiday season, give the gift of thrift.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this, Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What does Christmas mean to you?
Hey, Andrew McKay here, and at Christmas, what I think of is the original greatest miracle of God becoming flesh and living among us, a gift of incomparable size that we were given, and out of appreciation for which we give gifts to each other. Merry Christmas.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
The current existing ordinance tracks almost identically the state statutory language from the state statute that came out last year. which defined camping as overnight. And in conversations with Sheriff's Department and those who, I guess, who've been out in the field dealing with enforcement of this, there was an ask to loosen it up so that it would be for camping if it's occurring in the same places that's already in the ordinance, but even during the day.
Allison Rogers, county attorney, played the clip for you about 20 minutes ago. But since she says law enforcement said, and I have a chance also to talk with law enforcement once in a while, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons is here with us to talk about this. This was in the conversation about the tweak of the language to remove the overnight word from the anti-camping ordinance in Escambia County, allowing law enforcement, or I suppose code enforcement, but I think law enforcement primarily, to remove people from public areas if they are camping there. First, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Better to have you with me now. So this was a problem for you guys. They say this was kind of inspired by you guys. Tell me how much of an issue, how effective this change will be. What is this? How much difference does this make for your deputies?
Well, I think you just look at a visual. As an example, you have an individual that's camping, sleeping bag, tent, whatever they got. And they're, let's just say they're across the sidewalk. They cannot do that with the current ordinance at midnight. And they really shouldn't be able to do that at noon, you know, because a lot of times we have people that are trying to traverse the sidewalk during the daytime mm-hmm. more than they would even at midnight. So all it is what I consider a little bit of a cleanup language so that there's no overnight. Because overnight means what? Does it mean sunset to sunrise? Does it mean 1 hour, 2 hours? If we were to encounter somebody that's camping on the sidewalk, say, at midnight, have they been there for a while? Do we have to ascertain how long they've been sleeping? Are they snoring? What? That's just too much. Typically too much for us to just sit around there and deal with. So what we wanted to do is just take out the overnight aspect of it, or what, let's say we did, the county did. And we have had some conversations. There have been a number of complaints, that we've gotten from both citizens and from county commissioners, and then we've had these conversations. And as always, we try to work together and let's see what we can do. It also mirrors the city of Pensacola's ordinance, so mm-hmm. there's some consistency throughout the entire Escambia County.
So questions, and I know you don't make the legislation, so I'm asking you because you're the enforcement officer, obviously, or, you are in charge of all the enforcement. So first of all, when somebody is told to leave, where do they go? Like right now, what do you do? If your officer finds somebody who's camping on a sidewalk, you tell them they cannot be here, but where do they go?
Well, see, okay, so that is that's a great question, and that is a whole other opportunity for me to talk about. The people that want to do good, the people that want to help people, provide services, the service providers, I hope are all going in the same direction. We have a dashboard, so we will be able to look up and see where if there's bed or available space at this location, that location. Not all of the service providers have been willing to put their information on this particular dashboard. But we do have resource guides, and we can get them to at least refer them to the services.
Is that true also during the day? I know that's true for overnight stays, but it's my understanding not all shelters are as available during the day, too. So if we're during, like, somebody's sleeping on the sidewalk at 1 o'clock, you say, can't do that, now where do they go?
Well, we have a list of things that places they can go, people resources they can call, contact that they can have, and they actually do a pretty good job of we do, our deputies do, and I'm assuming the Pensacola police officers do as well,
okay,
of having this information, these resources, the information at least to them, and so that they can whatever they want, if they want food, then obviously there's plenty of places to eat around Escambia County. A number of people are feeding them. And if they want some sort of a drug rehab or something like that, there's also contact numbers and information for that.
We also have, and the second question, I was kind of bringing this up before, is, okay, your officer, your deputy wanders into a park, and there's somebody sleeping up against the tree. Turns out it's Andrew McKay. Probably okay, just taking a nap. Turns out it's a guy with a dog and a bowl and a shopping cart and looks like a sleeping bag and a bunch of possessions. Probably not okay.
I think what you're describing is what we deal with every single day with almost every statute. The everything is written by people over in Tallahassee that rarely are on the street and know what's really going on. So our deputies and law enforcement officers, first responders, have to go there and they have to ascertain whether this is legal or not legal and deal with all this gray area. So when those situations, that what we're trying to get our deputies to do is to talk to them and then use your discretion. If you can't camp there, you can't put a tent there, Andrew McKay, you can't do that. You need to go ahead and go somewhere else. But if you're just, if you fall asleep under a tree and you have no blanket, no bedding, no pillows, no tents, then that's a little different story. You know, you don't have a shopping cart full of all of your belongings. You're not living in the park.
Right.
And, so that's what my direction is. And my hope is that this is acts as a deterrent and we won't have to do anything, you know, so we're still going to try to just talk to them, give them a warning. Hey, you can't be doing this right here. Can you go, you know, go to somewhere else, maybe a private property where someone may allow you to stay there. Or, hey, here's a list of services available to you. Mm-hmm. So you may not, if you don't want to, you may not have to sleep out here.
Or even like the county has the program of sending people back to their, you know, hometowns if it's elsewhere aside, you know, that's something, you know, that's a possibility as well.
Exactly. So that's on that resource guide. Yeah. These are, and we work very well with Escambia County and with the resources that they have provided to us. Again, all this is on a list and we can give them that paperwork because almost all of them do have phones or computers and they do have access to reach out if they so desire. And that's the key where they have to want.
Well, you need to have a spreadsheet services. To know which corner is the most productive corner. I mean, you gotta, you know,
it's a network.
They and by the way, very effective at the business of panhandling based on, you know, squabbling that happens over turf and territory. And I mean, it doesn't often escalate to much, but somebody was texting me earlier the other day, I was at Davis and Olive and they're yelling at each other over who's got control of that corner for this shift or whatever. I'm like, they know where it's productive, of course. Yeah. And they don't keep doing it when it's not productive.
Well, and I want to be clear that this doesn't mean that this isn't the end all, right?
Right.
And we get complaints, I don't know, 10 a day about homeless and people that, and what their activities are. But this doesn't mean that this is going to stop it because you can still exercise your First Amendment right on the sidewalk. And sidewalk is the key there, on the side.
Right.
The place where you walk on the
Not
side
the
of
the median.
Road. Not the median.
Less than 8.5 feet.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, that's another change. We went from, the ordinance went from 6.5 to 8.5 feet, which is the state DOT recommended for safe pedestrian refuge.
Do you want people, you know what, hang on for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic. John Pickens has traffic.
That's right. The light at Cervantes and 17th is malfunctioning and blinking yellow, so just be aware of that. Also, no other accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I call the police not all the time, but I think I call more often than many because I figure I've internalized. If you see something, say something. If I'm driving, there's somebody drunk in front of me, I'm calling the cops. If there's a person that looks like they're a risk to themselves, I'll call. I mean, because I don't want it to be that something happened and I didn't say anything and I didn't prevent it, whatever. If I hear gunshots, you know, I'll call it in because I think that's what you're supposed to do. I don't think I would be inclined to call in somebody panhandling from the median where they shouldn't be, even though I know what the law is. I mean, right there across from McDonald's at Davis is a very good example. There's always somebody leaving the Grocery Advantage parking lot. There's always somebody panhandling right there. It is illegal under this ordinance, even before, now especially with 8.5 feet. But do you want me to call that in? Do you want me to call in to the non-emergency number and be like, hey, there's a guy here? You know, what do you want from a law enforcement perspective?
Well, the direction that we're giving is, in the normal course of their duties, if you see somebody doing this is a violation of a county ordinance, or it will be. I think they need a second reading. I'm not sure.
I think they're done at the county. I think they're one reading only. It's a city-county district, but I could be wrong.
Okay,
anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, but whenever we have to get the effective date. They have to register it with the state and all that.
Right,
state.
Right.
So once we get the effective date, then we'll be – and if you see an individual that's camping, you know, with camping or staying there too long in the median, then address it. That's what we're going to do. Is it a priority like fentanyl is a priority?
Yeah.
No, it's not. So if an individual calls us, if you know it, there is a safety hazard there. If you're some of these medians, as you're talking about, some of these medians are about a foot or 2 foot, and they're tight roping these medians, and they're just staying there through a couple of light.
The underpass
cycles.
At 110 in Brent is like that when in the left turn lanes. You know, on the off ramp, it's one thing, but on the middle lanes, it's not a safe place.
It's a tool, and again, our hope is that people will know that there's an ordinance and they'll stop doing it. Move over to the larger area, which is the sidewalk, if they feel like they have to exercise their First Amendment right.
A lot of other stuff to get to, and I know we spent some time on that, but I think it's important, and people have questions, and, you know, what can we do? You had an arrest for a guy named Willie Craig with a bunch of drugs, right? And some firearms?
Bunch of drugs, firearms. I think he had a bulletproof vest, and that's to get with the one we're talking about. He had a bunch of cocaine.
That's not illegal to own, though, right?
It depends on what you're doing. If you commit a crime doing it, it's an extra charge.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's an enhancement? Okay.
Right.
But, yeah, a bunch of drugs, a bunch of guns, and, you know, what, at a house on Mobile Highway?
Yeah, you know, I like to talk about the arrest that we're making because, you know, we can talk all the time about, oh, drugs are everywhere. But I also think it's good for people to understand that we're out there making not just – we're not talking about what I call street-level drugs. We're talking about people that are – these are people that are mid-level distributors. These are people that are poisoning our community that people end up overdosing from. And so in this particular case, it's cocaine. It wasn't fentanyl, but it was cocaine. And then I think it has some marijuana, about $3,000, and just several guns and that bulletproof vest that we talked about. So if you have to carry a gun and a bulletproof vest, the endeavor that you're operating is probably not the safest one.
Rethink some life choices.
Go to school. Go back to school.
Find something. George Stone will take you.
And, vocational.
Teach you how to work on airplanes.
Learn to be a plumber. Electrician.
I don't want to pick one, trade over any other.
HVAC.
The license plate frame thing, I think, is very well. It's clear now. It's just it cannot be the letters of the license plate or the yellow sticker. Everything else doesn't matter. That's the key, right?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. Yeah. Now you can't have like even a clear covering over it that would interfere with
the cameras
and that sort of thing. But we get a lot of calls on this, and our stance is that as long as we can read the tag and the expiration date, we're good.
Yeah, the there's been a deeming, apparently, that the information like the In God We Trust or Escambia County at the bottom is not considered essential information, so obscuring that is not a violation of the statute is kind of how I read a release that came out yesterday or today on this. So.
Yeah, the sheriff's office says if you can read the tag, we're good.
You had a deceased person found at Pace in Fairfield. No foul play?
No foul play suspected. We are working with the medical examiner's office to determine the exact cause of death, but at this point we don't suspect foul play.
A case that got dismissed that we haven't had a chance to talk about this much, the case against Deputy Collier. Somebody had gotten, basically they were trying to make a stop on somebody's property. They were in their car. They revved the engine, went into gear. He shot him. And then... because he said, you know, he was afraid that they were going to drive off and hurt him in the process. There's another deputy involved in this. He winds up getting exonerated on summary judgment by the court. My read of this is if somebody's in a car and they go into gear and rev the engine, you don't have to wait for them to start driving at you. They are a danger right then. It's like, well, he's got a gun. He's got it cocked. He's pulling it up towards me. Do I have to wait until he's actually aiming at me before I can shoot him? I mean, it's a weird standard to try to sue this guy or to criminalize this behavior.
Again, I talked about how difficult the job of a law enforcement officer is.
Yeah.
In this particular case, the individual had a warrant. It was dark, and I think it was a backyard. In fact, I know it was a backyard of a home. And he tried to stop the person that had the warrant on him. That person chose to get in the car, put it in gear, and drive towards a deputy. It's reasonableness. Is it reasonable to think that the deputy's life was in danger at that point? I think that anyone that has had a car going very quickly towards them and they have very little way to get away.
My understanding was the car hadn't moved yet. That was the issue in the case.
My understanding was the car did move and then it was start and stop and out of it at one point, and then the deputy was a small contained area.
Yeah.
And the deputy had little chance to retreat or to dodge from that. It's unfortunate. Certainly it's unfortunate. This happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was initially thrown out and then it was appealed and then thrown out again. So it's over with now. It's just some of the difficult things that a law enforcement officer has to do. Now, no one wants to stand in front of a car that's moving towards it, right? You know, you don't want to find yourself in that situation.
Right.
There are many situations that deputies would rather not find themselves in, as you mentioned. At the other end of a firearm, we don't want to find ourselves in that situation, but we have to take action based upon our job. It's our duty,
right,
to do these types of things. And we had an order to pick up. This individual had a warrant on him. They chose to drive that way.
And they had lots of off ramps they did not take. I mean, they had lots of chances not to do everything that they did. So it's not as though they were, you know, not a factor in what happened, essentially. So, yeah, when I read the case and thought about it, I thought, I mean, this, I don't see the issue here particularly. You had a colonel, Kevin, is it Pachuki? Is that how you say his name? Graduated the FBI Academy?
That's right. He graduated last week.
That's four for your agency now? You, Andy Hobbs, Tommy Leiter, and...
David Ingram, and Kevin Pachuki.
Oh, so that's five now. Okay.
Five of us, yeah.
That's rare, right, for an agency this size to have that many?
Yes. Sorry, I just got a text that said...
Do you need to run?
Deputy involved shooting. I need to head out here and see.
Okay, I understand. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, thank you for the time as always. We'll talk to you, not next week, but the week after that. I'll be out next week. So.
Sounds good. All right. See you then. Y'all take care.
Thanks so much. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10 between I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Still seeing some delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, as you approach I-10, about a 12-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I'm going to give you one little note that you can't see because you're not here. Normally, when Chip is done and John is doing traffic, I'll fist bump Chip or just say thanks or goodbye or whatever. There was none of that this time. He's just gone, out the door. Boom, like seconds matter. And always keep that in mind. You know, we're having this very cordial conversation, and all of a sudden there's deputy-involved shooting? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. We're done. Because law enforcement, the duty comes first, period. I'm Andrew McKay.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, co-workers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Cap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Parker, I'm your mother. Mothers don't lie to their sons. Now go wash your hands or Santa's not going to bring you anything for Christmas.
I've heard there was a secret chord.
Oh man, I could just listen to this for so long. It's such a great song. Hallelujah. Ah, love that. Every arrangement of that I've always loved. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. We don't have a location yet on that officer-involved shooting. Of course, we'll report that as soon as we do have it. Did you happen to see that the not only the shooters in Bondi Beach in Australia were, you know, ISIS radicals, but the guy who stopped him was a Muslim? There are good Muslims and bad Muslims. Just keep that in mind. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, or maybe one.
Well, FBI Boston Special Agent Ted Dock says there's a lot of public concern after that shooting at Brown University in Rhode Island. The suspect, as of now, still remains at large, and they're saying is armed and dangerous.
Very good. Thank you so much for the update, David. We'll be back in just a minute with Sam Abel.